Happy anniversary, Moncton. This show has been on for a year. I am thankful to everyone that has listened. It's come a long way. Welcome to our playoff preview episode of the Moncton Wildcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. You picked a good one. If you're a longtime listener, as always, thank you for all of your support. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Good evening, gentlemen. Happy last day of winter.
Isn't that tomorrow? Isn't the 21st the first day of spring?
No, I'm pretty sure tomorrow, for our listeners, on Wednesday is the first official day of spring.
You got me.
Nice.
Touché.
Yeah, not bad. So, question.
What's that?
What's that?
What do you call a thirsty camel?
What?
A dry humper.
That other voice you heard is my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Seeing first of all, it's crazy. It's been a year. This is nuts. But to round out the year, great fun fact of the day. Did you know that having bridesmaids in a wedding wasn't originally for moral support? They were intended to confuse evil spirits or those who wished harm to the bride.
All right, so before we get into our quick... Stro, what are you doing here from the Herdcast? This is awesome.
What is up, Wildcast?
Jordan, what are you even doing here?
There's nobody I love more than the Moncton Bug.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Jordan, man. I know what you're saying.
You guys sent me a message. You wanted to talk something. You had a big, bold prediction for Halifax in the playoffs of the Memorial Cup.
Will we win the Presidents of Memorial Cup? Probably not.
What?
Oh, yeah, no. I think that's 100% fair to say.
So there you have it, folks.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Man, that was quick, eh?
What a great stop by. Yeah. Thanks for popping in, boys.
All right, so a quick question for you guys. Just, it's pretty simple. Biggest takeaway from the season for the Wildcats?
Oof. I have so many I could think of. I want to stay positive, though. We're going into a postseason. We need that mantra. Takeaways, things I've loved. Jordan Spence, absolute treat. Elliot Desnoyers, love coming. Like, to watch two rookies come into this lineup, crack the squad, and basically be as impactful as they have been. I think the future is insanely bright for this club. Francis LeClaire, again, after the awards banquet this week, wins Defensive Player of the Year. I didn't give it to him on our show last week. Jeremy, you did. Adam, did you too?
I believe I did,
yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, my hat goes off to him because everything is going to, everything's going to roll through him. He got some sick new gear, saw the red pads over there. They're so nice.
Everything.
A little nervous about a goaltender grabbing new gear going into the playoffs. Not going to lie about that. But overall, I mean, it's been a great season. You didn't know how they were going to react. Home record wise, that scared me a little bit. It did not go the way I thought it was going to go. I was hoping that we, after the way the season started, I think we all got a little spoiled. It was a very, well, that's just it, right? I mean, they basically ran the gauntlet, cracked the CHL top 10 for almost a month and a half. I mean, it was good times. But, yeah, overall, I'd have to say the plays of, DeYoung, Spence, Desnoyers, these guys filling on in. Brady Pataki's been absolutely lights out for us this year. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I had a great year. I had a lot of fun this year. I'm excited for the postseason.
Personally, for me, I just think it's the massive step forward that the majority of our players have taken. You just look at... statistically, everybody had a massive, their numbers were up from last year, which is what you're expecting, a team, once players get older, what you expect them to do. And just great years by McKenna, Pelche, Sear, Havanov, everybody that you were expecting to have a big year had a big year.
So let me ask you this. Let's go back a year, when the season started. Mm-hmm. One of the other things I didn't get a chance to mention was one of the biggest uptakes for me this year was that season ticket holder sales were up. Mm-hmm. Average attendance went up at the Avenir Center. Everyone was complaining, I'm canceling my tickets. There's no parking. Beer is too expensive.
I figured it out.
Again, you look at what they did as a business. Statistically speaking, the Wildcats had a great year. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm used to you cutting me off.
That's a fact.
During the podcast and on the road. I saw you the other day.
I'm a dick.
Driving that new soccer mom van of yours.
For me, my
Bazinga.
I have two takeaways. The one, the health of Mika Seer. We said early on our expectations episode that top line was going to go and Pelche and McKinnon were going to have their great seasons, but we needed Seer to stay healthy all year, and he did. The other one, it was just a tale of three years in one. Like, they got off to that 19-4 start. Things didn't go great in December, early January. New coach. They didn't get off to a great start going with him. And then, what are they, 13-6-2 down the stretch. So, I mean, it was a tale of three seasons for me. But I think the biggest takeaway is the health of Seer being able to play a full year, which allowed guys to be slotted into their positions, which now, our top lines look great.
Mika Seer has been unreal of late.
Yeah.
You know, he's really coming on to himself, which is what I've been waiting to see from him. Again, he had a good year. You are right. I mean, this was a record-breaking year for him, I mean, career-wise. But he'll be a big piece for this postseason run.
He only missed two games this year.
Crazy.
Which is
crazy.
Phenomenal. Like you came into the season almost expecting him to miss time. Like, no offense to you, Mika, but I mean, it's in the past 2 years. It's been, you know, every time he turned around, he was he was out. So
that was one of his goals. He had for the year.
Yeah, so it was good for him to stay healthy. Knock on wood, right, for the majority, for the entire team, of course, heading into the long playoff run.
Yes. So before we get to that, obviously, the awards were Monday night. Rookie of the Year was Spence. No surprise there. Defensive Player was LeClaire. Most Improved went to Denoyer. Top Points and Top Goal Scorer was McKenna. Scholastic Player of the Year was Brady Pataki. The Rebecca Schofield Community Spirit Award was Huddy. The Unsung Hero was Pataki. Fans Choice and MVP was Pelche. Any surprises?
I know that you campaigned hard for Lavallee to win that Fans' Choice Award.
I did campaign hard for Lavallee to win that Fan Choice. I was probably considering he wasn't even one of the three nominees.
He was a write-in.
Apparently, I didn't do enough. So,
but there was no surprise for me. The only one that, like I said, that kind of surprised me a little bit was Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I understand why LeClaire won it. I just think when I think Defensive Player of the Year, you can't even give a goaltender trophy this year to anybody other than the fact because we only really had one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I'll give LeClaire his due. I mean, he deserved it, but I still would have taken Sylvester there, I think. But overall, I love Francis LeClaire. He's been an absolute staple and a workhorse for us. And he just needs to keep it up because, I think we've got our hands full here in round one.
Yep. All right, so the Wildcats finished with a record of 38, 21, 4, and 5 for 85 points. Fourth in the Maritime, seventh in the Eastern Conference. It took till the final day, but we finally know on the road to the President's Cup, our first stop is the Baie-Comeau Dracar. Let's quickly recap last week's games. Wednesday, Jeremy got what he wanted. 5-3 loss to the Mooseheads, which means we were going to need two wins and some help. But that game was a weird game for me. Wildcats had two goals in the first two shots, five shots total in the first period, but it didn't look like they were outplaying, like, obviously with five shots, but the Mooseheads just kept coming and kept coming at home. Like, any takeaways from Wednesday night?
Obviously this has already been, mentioned, but that Halifax game winning goal was tough just because the fourth line was on the ice at the time. John Turchetti said it was, he trusts everybody while they're out there, but that's, in my opinion, maybe a decision that that obviously came back to haunt the team. Should have been a different trio on the ice at that juncture of the game, but it's a thing of the past right now, so you can't really do anything about it. And they went on, won their next two, and here we are.
Yeah, Friday night was a 3-2 win over the Islanders. I was at that game. It's funny, I've been to, obviously the Avenir, I've been to the Vidéotron Center, Quebec. They're the same ice surfaces, but Charlottetown just felt smaller. Like, it just felt like you were right on top of them. Same size rink.
I got a question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Riddle me this.
So you're at the East Lake Center.
I am.
I haven't been there this year. I haven't been there in a couple of years, but do they still stamp your hand when you go to the concession?
They do. Because you can go in and out. You get your ticket, and she stamped my hand, and I'm like, what's that for? And
that has to
hockey
be.
And Hockey Hat Guy's wife was like, you can even come back. I'm like, really?
That has to be the most hilarious thing I've ever experienced at a hockey game. Having to get your hand stamped just to go to the frigging concession. What a joke.
That's amazing.
What a joke.
How do you feel about that, man?
Oh, yeah. I laugh every time I hear that. I had to ask him just because it's...
Because you knew the answer.
I didn't know the answer. Okay. Just because like I haven't gone in a couple of years, I thought maybe they went and clued in and made an improvement to their fan experience, but I guess not.
Man, maybe over in PEI, they like the stamp, though.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Imagine 8,000 people at the Avenir Center having to get their hand stamped to go buy a friggin'
I don't think it's so much that. I think it's the fact that you can go to the casino and have something to eat and come back.
First of all, the racino.
The racino, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty... That was being at that rink first time ever. I don't know how the casino doesn't
have more
things with it.
I want Charlottetown to have a long playoff run just so I can go bet on the horse track in the middle of a game. Yes. Just like leave mid-game, just bet on the horses and come back.
That was my favorite, following the draft 2 years ago in Charlottetown, that was my favorite thing to do. I literally went from the East League Center back to where I was staying, got changed, then went to the casino just to bet on the horses.
That was a lot of fun. That was a good draft.
It was.
That was a good draft.
Really good time.
Now, the hockey game started kind of slow, but the turning point in that hockey game was the Sean Stewart,
Liam Payton. We were talking about
tilt,
a hockey game.
That heavyweight tilt. Holy man.
Blacked out what happened.
I was too caught up on this hand stamping.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to go back to talking about Sean Stewart. Sean Stewart has been fantastic lately.
That whole fourth line.
With Jake
and Jaguar.
Agreed. They're the guys who are going to get it done. They're going to be the difference makers in these postseason runs. I mean, your fourth line has to be able to chip in or at least prevent their top lines from chipping in.
Yep.
And that you're right. That entire fourth line has been fantastic. You were talking about our record, Adam, and I went back and took a look at some numbers like as to where we sit perfectly, and I don't want to...
Yeah. Sorry.
For those back, anybody's listening, Jeremy's crushing a Timbit right now.
Double Timbit?
I think it was sour cream glaze.
So I went back through our entire season and looked at every loss we had. Of the losses we had, 16 of them were by one goal.
Wow.
Wow.
16 games. The 16 games that we lost were by one goal. That's your difference right there.
That's your difference between seventh place in the Eastern Conference and first place in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, not to harp on looking back, but how bad does that Victo loss at the beginning of the month look?
Oh, like,
there's so many games.
How bad do those losses to St. John look?
St. John, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many games that early in the season that you just, you know, you want to punch a wall just because.
Man, it's so much better because I'm usually like, oh, you want to kick a puppy. And then then all of a sudden PETA gets involved. And
yeah, don't
sick PETA. I wouldn't ask. PETA! PETA!
Saturday, 6-4 win over the Sea Dogs. They freed Lavallee. I thought this one was just... we needed to win and get a lot of help.
You should bring us beer every time, man. Like, just bring us beer everywhere. Must be the anniversary show. Fire it up.
You were on.
Should have shotgunned it.
Oh, my God. That would have been amazing. I'd have live streamed that for the viewers.
We needed help and get a win. It was kind of a just stay healthy game, right? Like,
at any point during that game, were you guys nervous? Like, oh, shit, here comes. Like, I was waiting for someone to get hurt. You talked about it. Like,
yeah.
You're right. Everyone's just a stay healthy game. It's a full tilt stay healthy game. Oh, my goodness. But lucky for us.
I thought you were going to say, did you feel like they were going to come back?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, like, no, no.
Like 6-3 or
something? No, no. I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about someone getting hurt.
When they scored it to make it 6-4 with 7 seconds left, I got a little concerned. Just because I didn't know if they'd make it, you know, the next 6 seconds without allowing 3 goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad they held on for that one.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I got to say, though, for the first time in my life, I sat behind, like, directly in row one. For that hockey game, right behind the net. Those are great seats.
Man, so where the ice bar usually is.
Yeah.
Because the ice bar was pulled out.
Yeah.
So that's where we were sitting for that Halifax game. And like you're right. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. The viewing angle from behind the glass at that exact location is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much faster the game looks.
Yeah. It's amazing how big these kids are.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They're gonna have that ice bar for the playoffs, right?
Well, not if they sell out the Avenir Center, they're not.
Which they should.
But yes, of course they'll be there.
Which they won't.
They should.
Right. They
it's always that one guy in the group.
Yeah.
It's usually Jeremy.
Did you bring your draft lottery thingy?
I got my draft lottery.
All right. Let's before we get to the playoff previews, let's look at the inverse standings and the Jonathan Waugh sweepstakes.
Ah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Is it Jonathan or Joshua?
It's Joshua.
I can edit that out. The Joshua Waugh sweepstakes.
Speaking of Jonathan Waugh, Patrick Waugh's son.
Remember that fight when he just skated down the other side of the ice and pummeled the other goaltender? It was you, like
Jonathan Waugh has actually became a very successful singer, if you weren't aware of that.
I'm not aware of that.
He's actually going to be on the next season of America's Got Talent.
He's not American.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Waugh's son Jonathan, or is it a different Jonathan?
No, the same Patrick Waugh's
son. He could be American if he had him when he was in Colorado.
Anybody can go to America's Got Talent. You got the guy that won was from Korea.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
North or south?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably not.
But all I know is he's got soul.
Oh!
But yeah, Jonathan Waugh, the son of Patrick Waugh, is going to be on America's Got Talent.
That's insane.
Yeah, he put it on his Facebook crazy. His Facebook page today. And apparently his audition is tonight or something like that. So whenever the next series or season is it on right now? No, American Idol's on right
American
now.
American Idol's on right now.
So the next season of America's Got Talent.
So that's why I love this podcast, boys, because we can go off on a tangent for no reason. I know that's really kind of, but not really hockey related. But sticking with the Waugh story, did you guys see the rant he went on? Patrick Waugh.
I don't need the mess. Yeah.
But you know what the crazy part is? So Patrick Waugh was upset with the Quebec Ramparts schedule to close out the year. Says he had the toughest schedule of all. Was not pleased. Complained and bitched and complained. And the crazy part is, next year, I promise you, that schedule will get adjusted.
Oh, freaking right he will.
It's Patrick Waugh.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Carey Price, one of the best goaltenders in the history of the Montreal Canadiens.
Probably the best.
Okay.
What, wrong Dugnut.
Oh.
Dugnut. Anyways, draft lottery.
All right, so here are your inverse.
And we're back.
So Moncton owns the number one spot. They got it from Bathurst. Val-d'Or at number two from St. John. Shawinigan at three. Gatineau at four. St. John at five from Blainville.
So before you do this, Jeremy, explain to the listeners again how many balls each team has going into it, just so they understand.
So with Moncton holding Bathurst's first overall pick, they will have nine balls. In the thingamajigger.
Montreal, nine. Moncton, nine ball.
Nine ball. Val-d'Or via St. John will have six balls. Shawinigan will have three. Gatineau will have two. And the St. John Sea Dogs will have one.
Okay.
So these are the official lottery. Last month was just make up whatever. This is official. Yeah. Don't even do the lottery. Just make sure this one counts here. So the first pick will belong to the Moncton Wildcats with nine balls.
Nice.
Second overall, Gatineau with two balls.
Wow.
Third overall, Shawinigan with three balls.
The Cataract.
Fourth overall will go to the Val-d'Or Furore.
And fifth will be St. John.
And fifth, St. John Sea Ducks.
And then Val-d'Or sixth. Because they're just on the outside.
That is correct.
They're other actual picks. So
there you have it, folks. Once again, a month later,
Gatineau, nothing changes. Val-d'Or, St. John.
But when the real thing happens,
Moncton will get
third overall.
Yeah.
Which is, you know when the real one is?
Pardon?
When's the draft lottery?
Yeah. Last year was April the 5th. So if I were to guess, it would probably enter around that same time.
Yeah.
Following the conclusion of the first round of playoffs.
You're probably right.
Hopefully it's on a Tuesday. So we can. It's probably not at night, though.
It is a day thing. Yeah. It'll be usually they air.
I think it was 1 p.m.
Yeah, it was 12 o'clock Quebec time because we aired it on Across the Line at 1 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it live on any of their social medias? I just,
The queue will make it live for sure. Okay. And TVA usually does it live as well.
Yeah, because the WHL's is April 1st live on.
Because Moncton's got a shot at the first overall pick, I'm going to talk to our people at Rogers TV and see if we can't do something similar to that again this year. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Well done.
Jeremy, do it.
We could probably be available as guests.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Thursday?
Tuesday?
I can use a floater day.
Floater day. Listen to this guy.
All right. Well, let's get to what everyone wants to talk about. The road to Halifax. The President's Cup playoffs are beginning on Friday for most teams. So we'll break down all the other with predictions and how we think they're going to go, and then we'll finally get to our series last. So we'll start in the West. Randaranda versus Shawinigan, 1 versus 8, 111 points versus 33 points.
Shawinigan and 4.
I will bet my underwear that does not happen.
Your underwear? I would literally bet both my unborn twins that would not happen. Just so you guys know, I have not won a bet all year, so someone could literally walk away with both my kids here.
So because Abandonado was the leading scorer, my question to you two, who scores more, Abandonado or the Shawinigan in a four-game series?
Scores as in points or goals? Where are you going with them? You got to be specific.
Goals.
Yeah, Shawinigan outscores Peter Abandonado goal-wise.
Because like we said before,
he's an assist machine.
He's a setup guy. He's a, right?
Who's there? All right. Yeah.
You got it. Well, who don't they have?
Right.
They got Lauko. They got Harvey Pinard. They got Bocage. They've got Teasdale. They got just, they're an all-star team.
Yeah.
Consensus, Ruin Aranda and four?
Four. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on, folks.
All right. Drummondville, Voltigeur taking on Gatineau. The 2-7 matchup. This one, for me, kind of like the Huskies, the Volts are just too good in four.
I'm trying to find my predictions.
So, I don't know why, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a general consensus. I mean, Drummondville was the most offensively talented team in the entire league this year. They scored more goals than anybody else in the league. They will win this series. I think Gatineau gets a, they steal a game from them. I think, I'm going to say Drummondville in five.
I'll go Voltigeurs in four.
And that makes sense, you guys. Yeah. I think you guys are both, but I always have a little sympathy for those kids, you know?
The one home game, they get the
Well, don't, because this is for real.
He is on today. Three versus six.
Coffee time.
Sherbrooke versus Blainville.
I'm going Sherbrooke in six.
Yeah.
Also taking Sherbrooke in six.
I think Blainville's offense has have what it takes to win a couple games.
So and here, let's say
Samson can steal a couple.
Right, absolutely. But
well,
if you
Samson's
look at the numbers,
been injured. He's out the rest of the year. He hasn't played in like 3 months.
That's how much I pay attention to Blainville.
So you look at the goals for and goals against numbers between both teams, right? So, I mean, Sherbrooke scored on a total on the season. They've scored 249 goals. Goals against of a 247, so they're basically batting 500. Blainville, they've only scored 196 goals, and they've been scored on 270 times. So, I like Sherbrooke. I like Sherbrooke in six.
The 4-5... Val-d'Or versus Victoriaville. I'm going to take Victo in six. It's really just a toss-up.
You're right. Offensively, they're pretty talented. Like, I like Victo because, you know, defensively, they're a better hockey team.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You can never count out Val-d'Or. I've been rooting for Val-d'Or. I'd like to see Val-d'Or do something. I know it's not much of an upset. I think I'm going to take Val-d'Or. I'm going to take Val-d'Or in seven.
I've got a case for both here.
Right.
When I posted my predictions on the board 2 days ago, I had Victo in six. I'm beginning to lean more towards your side, Chris, with Val-d'Or in seven, just because it seems like their goalies have been stopping 50 shots a game for the past 3 months. And when your goalie can stop 50 shots a game, you're bound to steal a few. Yeah. I'm still sticking with Victo in six. But just wouldn't be surprised if Val-d'Or pulls this one out.
All right. So we go to our conference.
Give us your vote on it?
Yeah, I said Victo in six.
Okay, perfect, right.
The Hated Mooseheads versus Quebec. I'd say Moose in five.
That's what I was going to say. Yep. Moosehead's in five.
Yeah, that's a consensus.
At one point during this entire thing, Patrick Waugh is going to make a mockery of the entire league.
Yeah.
He'll make the media. It'll happen for one game. That'll probably be the game Quebec steals.
I think they steal game one. They've rested guys.
I don't.
It's a long road trip. They've beaten Halifax twice this year. I think if Quebec's going to steal a game, and it's like I said last year and generally all the time, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Antoine Morin was on the ice today for Halifax.
So was Lavoie.
Right. So was Raph Lavoie.
Isn't quite ready.
Trepanier is not quite ready. But I will say this. I don't think so. I know that we shit on the Mooseheads a lot.
Yep.
Because, A, it's fun.
Yep.
I saw, so I sent you guys that screenshot today from Scott McIntosh talking about, you know, obviously he's a Mooseheads guy. But I was talking to Strobridge, and I, you know, and John, I hope you're listening because this is for you.
They always listen.
I know. I am going to sit here openly and apologize to Halifax Mooseheads fans for something I've been saying for 2 years now. And I was listening to your show last week, and you guys were talking about, you know, your thoughts and opinions and making fun of me because I always said you guys will go as far as Gravel will take them. I have been awfully hard on this kid for 2 years, and every year he's basically proven me wrong. He's a great goaltender. I don't know how else to say this, so I apologize to you guys. Then I on your show last week, you guys were talking, and I apologize, John. I think it was your old co-host that called in, and you guys were having a chat in regards to what actually needs to take place, and he was bang on, and that was, you guys will go as far as your offense will allow you to go, because you guys have been snake bitten a few times. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I have no problem eating crow when I have to. I think Alexis Gravel, you know, in Scott McIntosh's tweet, the one thing he said was get down here and buy tickets to one of the best Mooseheads teams of all time. But no, but hear me out, because that's what I disagreed with you guys, because I said this is foolish, and I was kind of making fun of him to you. But after talking to John, I'm going to read you his text message back to me during our conversation.
I mean, technically, they are one of the best.
Well, that's what he said. I mean, he just goes, they're top three for sure, maybe top four. He's like, nobody writes about the Moose anymore. And then I told him, I was like, listen up carefully because I'm going to retract the statement. He goes, well, what? We're no longer your favorite podcast? I'm crushed. he goes, no, it's true. And he's just like, but at the same time, he goes, it's their most successful year point-wise. They actually tied the 2002-2003 team in points, and they played four more games. So statistically speaking, he's not wrong. It's just we've been so hard on Rouen, Aranda, and Drummondville that no one's been paying attention.
But when you look at the top three with Gravel, and he's only going to go, they're only going to go as far as he's going to take them. The reason you can still make that point is, does he beat Harvey or Rodrigue in a seven-game series? And he's probably the third best goaltender in the league, but that's the thing. He's got to beat one of those. You got to beat both of those teams to get
wholeheartedly
to the championship. You're already going to the Memorial Cup.
If Halifax has a fully healthy blue line, and I know a lot of people crapped on Saffin now that Saffin's back in the lineup, you know, it's taken him a couple games. Good to see him get on the score sheet the other night.
Boys say they haven't had a full lineup.
I like this Halifax squad. I don't like them because I'm a Moncton Wildcats fan.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I will say this. This team is built for a playoff run. Now, schedule-wise, that could help them extend their playoff run a little further because, you know, playing the guys they have to play early. But as far as this series specifically goes, I think you're about to see the Halifax Mooseheads dominate the way that everyone's been waiting to see them happen. I'm taking Halifax in five.
And with getting first in this division and overtaking Baie-Comeau, they finished third. So, you know, just if all the top four teams make the final four, right, they play Drummondville. So, that'll be a good series. They don't have to draw Rouen-Aranda.
That'll be a
top
great
four
series.
Teams make the semifinals, right? And that's what the guys talked about, is you want that third overall seed in the league.
Don't kid yourself. It crushes me to say that I want the Halifax Mooseheads to win. But ultimately, hockey fan first, Cats fan second.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Which game do you think Quebec will steal?
Game three.
I'll go four.
It'll be a home game at the Videotron Center.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The 3-6, Rimouski versus Chicoutimi. Jeremy, you've talked about this. I know that Jordan talked about this. I talked about it with the guys. The Sags are going to be a tougher out than people think. And I didn't want to say Rimouski's going to get upset twice. But I think Rimouski's going to get upset twice. And I think it'll be seven.
That's right, folks. We have
Adam. We finally agree on something?
We finally agree on something. I got Chicoutimi in six games over Rimouski. Not sold on them. That's the only reason why.
Like, they're not as good as they were last year.
Yeah. I don't agree.
And I think Shank is going to... And the team's 7-0 in their last seven. There's something to be said for coming into the playoffs on a streak, so...
Just because I don't like to agree with you guys. I'm taking Rimouski in six. And the only... statistically speaking, for no other reason other than they have the Alexis Lafreniere. Like, it's whether or not you believe Dylan Seitz has shut him down many times, and they've proven he's become more of a professional player. It's a factor you have to take into consideration because the kid's a superstar.
And you know Yannick Jean's going to be doing the same damn thing.
Wholeheartedly.
Like,
you're abs to a T. Mm-hmm. But I think he's better and strong enough now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, who is the player that gets the Dylan Seitz role to...
Liam Murphy.
Because who knows it better than Liam?
That's right.
You got it. And I don't disagree with that. And I wouldn't be upset to see Rimouski get upset. I just don't see it happening.
Hope so.
If they do...
Oh, for sure.
If they do, is Lafreniere's tenure tainted?
No.
Being so good last year?
No.
No, I just mean in Rimouski not being able to get out of the first round when you've been the number three seed twice.
It's on the coach.
Yeah, you can't blame the best player, arguably, in the league.
Well, everyone does. You gotta, if it's the best player, you got to take your team to.
You just signed a multi-million dollar deal with Upper Deck. Saying, you can't.
And it's not even his draft year because of his late birthday. Yeah. Like, this kid's lethal. The kid made the World Junior squad this year. No.
Go out in six games. Go win yourself another gold medal with Canada, the under-18s, and have yourself a good summer. Play some golf.
I think arguably the best series that we have is going to be the Islanders versus the Eagles.
Not even debatable. Not even debatable.
Like, that is going to be so much fun for two friends of the show, Hockey Hat Guy and Pat McNeil, to battle it out. I think the Islanders get it done in six.
I'm taking Cape Breton in seven.
I'm going Cape Breton in six.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously last year, Charlottetown proved that they are built for the playoffs.
They shouldn't be good.
That's the thing.
They shouldn't be good.
It's 73.
That's another scenario where Jim Holton is going to be completely robbed of Coach of the Year.
Yep.
And for the second, where in the second consecutive year, he deserves it more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Who's he going to be robbed by?
Probably Mario Pouliot.
Which is, no, but still, you
Serge
can't.
Beausoleil. The typical.
Mario Pouliot deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he did.
9 regulation losses in the entire year.
Right. Wins 25 straight, ties a record in the Canadian Hockey League. Like, don't kid yourself. He deserves it. But you are right. Jim Holton will get robbed. But if he wasn't at least a close second, I wish they'd show the nominees, like the votes.
Let the fans vote on that.
Who would your three nominees be? Pouliot,
Holton. Pouliot, Holton.
John Torchetti.
The Sags coach?
No. John.
I can't think of his name, but the Sags coach?
Yannick Jean. I would go Pouliot, Holton, and maybe the Drummondville coach, what's his name? Steve Hartley, is that his name?
So. You got the talent there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, but of course, Jim Holton's going to be robbed again. So
he's
going to be an NHL coach one of these days.
Without a question.
In a 7-game series, Welsh or Mandalese? I take Welsh. I mean, he's proven that he's unbelievable. And
yeah, but right. But
Cape Breton's
D is deals. So yeah. much better.
Cape Breton made trades to win.
To win.
Historically, Cape Breton hasn't been a very good playoff team. But I honestly think that changes this year. They're going to win a couple rounds.
Oh, I think so. They're pegged to go. Okay.
All right. So that brings us to the one and only matchup left.
The reason we're here.
Let's be like Degeneration Next and...
Hall of Fame DX. I love it.
And we're about to get sued.
Well, that wasn't 10 seconds. We're fine. Look, we're in tough in round one. We face Bay Como in a 2-3-2 series. We each probably have a key to this series before we give our predictions. Mm-hmm. Mine is Francis LeClair. This is a revenge series for him. We've leaned on him so much. There's no doubt that he's going to want to shut them down. And he's got to outbattle Dorio. That's for me. It starts in net.
Why is it a revenge series for Francis LeClair?
I would also like to know this.
Because they traded him away. And I know that all teams do this eventually. But you don't think that he wants to beat the team that traded him?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's different. That's not revenge.
Okay.
Well, careful. Jeremy's beating on the microphone.
Just so fired up right now.
Which is completely different than beating off the microphone.
The wrong term to use for it, but I mean, this is the team that traded him away. He's going to be fired up too.
Of course, he's going to be fired up. Adam Capanelli's going to be fired up. Like, right? Bay Como drafted Capanelli in 2015. He never reported to them. He's going to be fired up, right? It's so many people are going to be. Ethan Crosman's going to be fired up.
That's true,
right?
Although it wouldn't be as bad because he played through Bath or stuff like. I mean, he is, but
there's so many like denominator like there's so many denominators in this series that
struggling there a little bit.
Whatever.
Okay,
I'm one beer in. Come on.
One beer and three Timbits in.
One beautiful Moose Light that was won by our good host here at the Avenir Center.
Caught blue-handed.
I just think in the playoffs, goaltending is such a big thing, and look, and I think he's...
Alex Doria is a great goaltender.
Yep. And the way I look at it
so
is...
So good that Pittsburgh believes in him.
Yeah. The way I look at it, we've seen Doria enough to know his weaknesses. But on the other hand...
We have. Doesn't mean they have.
Well... The Wildcats have played against him how many times over the past 12. Four seasons?
Okay, but the kids that are on this team now that were here 4 seasons ago...
Are not here.
Right. Well, neither was Torchetti. Although there's game tape, you're right. I don't disagree with you. I'm just... I don't know. I think that's... This is going to be a lot tougher than... I mean, Jerry McKenna's going to need to step up huge.
Right, because he didn't have a great playoff last year.
Correct.
Right.
Mika Seer, I don't think, remembered what the playoffs were.
Mm. Peltz wasn't playing.
Yes, he was.
No, he was hurt.
Second series. He was hurt.
He got hurt last year.
Oh, well, the second series.
I think he didn't. I don't even think he completed the Rimouski series.
No, I think he was out in game six of the Rimouski series.
Was he?
Yeah, he got hurt last year, and then he was out long term. Bottom line is it doesn't matter because I agree with you 100%. This series is going to be a lot tougher, and I'm going to let you keep going before I give my opinions.
Do you say the key is goaltending?
One of them, yeah.
I say the key is coming home with a split.
Well, the 2-3-2, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right? You can't afford to lose the first two on the road in this
win
series.
Game one.
Win
Go
game
on
one.
Out, shock him, shock the world game one. Right?
That's the thing. Win game one, put all the pressure on Bay Como in game two, because they don't want to come back to Moncton being down 2-0 with
imagine
the next
coming
three.
Home with a 2-0 lead.
You want to talk about a way to fill the rink.
Hope.
Right? But yeah, it's
crazy.
That's the advantage of a 2-3-2. You go in there and you steal a game, or you come home with a 2-0 lead.
And this Moncton team this team is capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends on what Moncton team shows up.
Yeah, and they've proven they can win in Bay Como. Everybody remembers that crazy game in November.
Yeah, I bet you Bay Como remembers.
Pelty scores an empty net. Nobody knew it counted except for. The Wildcats on the ice and the French announcers, right?
So this is the third time and basically the third different team, like third time different team. It was before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was after the trade deadline, but we just had hired Torchetti, so the team was still in a funk and just learning his stuff. So it's a completely different team than what it was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the home and road, the record.
That game in November, though, that was... Way before the trade period, right? Bay Como has improved their team
tenfold,
drastically. Ethan Crosman, Thomas Ethier, Keenan McIsaac, Alex Doria.
A big Keenan McIsaac fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
I took the time to kind of break down the lines and stuff.
Sure.
The first line in Bay Como, if I understand correctly, is Legare is on the right wing. Fortier is their center. And then... Chaikovic, right?
Who's also super good.
Yeah. So the first line in Bay Como is Chaikovic, Fortier, and Legare.
Yep.
Yep.
Up against Desnoyers, McKenna.
Yep.
Do you think they go that, or do you think they put the big line together?
No, you
don't want to go toe-to-toe with these two big lines, because we'll lose.
With that said, first line edge goes to Bay Como.
Yep.
Second line... In Bay Como, I have, again, I don't know if this is legit or not, but I have Ethan Crosman, Sam Letellier, and Yaroslav Alexiev.
Another good line.
Mm-hmm. Up against Pelche, Capanelli, and Havanov.
Yep.
I give the edge to Moncton with that one.
Yep.
Yep.
Third line in Bay Como, I have as Thomas Ethier, Sean Ellemont, and Jordan Martell. We have Seitz, Hudson, and Pataki.
That's a wash, I would think.
I kind of give the edge to Moncton just because those three guys were together majority of the year, plus last year in the playoffs.
That's fair.
No, I was going to say that's the line that reminds you of last year where there was Seitz, Pataki, and Capinelli.
Martell's tough to play against, though.
That was a that line. I guess
tough. That's, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Like that's our
shot. But offensively, line. I do. Yeah, you are right. I'll give Moncton the edge on that.
Fourth line is a wash. I call it a wash just because both teams have...
Sean Stewart factor, baby.
Sean Stewart, you know, Jaguar. But then, I mean, Baie-Comeau has the Canadian crippler, Chris Benoit. obviously, that's their veteran presence on the fourth line.
Right.
And then they have, if I'm not mistaken, they've got a couple rookies there as well. So it's the fourth line's a wash. Defensively, I got to give the edge to Baie-Comeau.
Yep.
They're losing one of their guys for four games.
Who's that?
Matthew Charbot.
Really?
Four-game suspension for check to the head. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, really? Four-game playoff suspension? I didn't know that either. That's a huge suspension for postseason time. That's massive.
Yeah. Is it? Really? What was that?
Did you dream that again?
No, March 6th. So I might not...
March 6th, it's the 19th. You don't think they've played four games since then?
Well, they probably did. I just saw it and I was like, oh, nice. It just came up. It came up like a week ago. All right, never mind.
Honestly, I think I just broke your chair.
I think you did too.
Oh, my God.
Goaltending, I don't know, my homer self wants to say a wash, but...
It's not, though.
It's not.
It's not.
Like,
Alex Doria wins, just statistically, in the goaltending department.
So, I've come... Again, this is obviously very fanish of me, very homer-like. But I have Moncton in six. Just on the sole basis that I think I was one of only few who predicted Moncton to win in the first round last year.
Everybody at this table, I'm also on television quoting Moncton won that series in seven. Mm-hmm. Like Adam quoted last year, say it was seven. For some strange odd reason, the three of us, great minds, all end up in this podcast together, all had Moncton winning that series last year.
Yeah. And if it was...
We were three out of six total, maybe.
Potentially. Like, potentially.
Mm-hmm. The Quebec media did.
Okay. You think the Quebec media is going to bet on Moncton?
Against Rimouski? 0%.
Against Baie-Comeau?
Oh, I mean, I'm talking about last year. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. But that, if this series is a 2-2-1-1-1, I'm saying Baie-Comeau.
Right.
But just because it's a 2-3-2, I got to give the edge to Moncton just because I think if they can...
What was the date on that suspension? Sorry.
March the 9th.
Never mind.
No, I'm just curious. I just want to make sure.
Oh, March 6th, they played like six games since then.
No, they played four. They played their first, so that's why they gave a four-game suspension to close of the season. Because I was thinking maybe might get an edge on one game in the playoffs.
It's only, I give Moncton the edge just because of the 2-3-2. I think they can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Steal one.
Why does that scare you? That's a good thing for
them. Just because of how not good they've been at home, right? Like if they come home with a split.
Think of it this way, though. Moncton comes home with a split, okay, and it's 1-1, and then they win the next two of three at home.
They got
to
go to the road.
They just got to go to Baie-Comeau to win one of two, where Baie-Comeau has to win
two of two.
The pressure's all on them.
Yeah. Without a question. Right?
It's like last year. Game 7 in Rimouski, all the pressure was on the Oceanic.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Now, I will give the edge in the coaching department to Moncton.
Yeah.
I like Torchetti here. I mean, Torchetti will outcoach his opponent, I believe. I like that prediction. Nice breakdown, Jeremy.
That was very good.
Nice breakdown.
Stumbled on the lines there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I had them on my sheet, but I don't know. My daughter probably erased them or something.
Yeah, here we go.
Sabotage you.
Here we go. Blaming Avery because she's not here to defend herself. Although she did impress you today.
yeah, she did.
I'm not going to go into as lengthy of a rant as that was because I thought that was bang on, and I agree with everything you said. To me, and I said it to you guys before we started shooting, the difference maker in this series is going to be Alexander Hovanov.
Mm.
The reason I say that is two things. One, congratulations to Alex, signed his ELC with Minnesota. Absolutely outstanding, well-deserved. Number two, my fear is, and Jordan Peckham brought this up on the Herdcast last week talking about that game in Halifax, which was the turning point of that game. Havanov lost his cool about something yet again and was given a 10-minute misconduct, which was the turning point in that Halifax game. Whatever was said, whatever was done, he was fired up. On his way to the locker room, Torchetti had to tell him, like, brother, calm down. Like, something, like, just go to the room. Get away. You're going to make this worse for yourself. Bakhoma was the number one power play in the league.
I'm just looking at, yeah.
They are the number one power play in the league. You can't go to the box against this team because they will make you pay. Now, Moncton is one of the best penalty kills in the
number
team.
Number three. Yeah.
In the league.
I'm going to go to those numbers here in a minute.
But it don't matter. When your team can score on the power play the way Bakhoma does at will, they'll make you pay. But I do think Havanov, this ELC deal, everything that's gone through for him, is such a huge motivator for him. This is going to light a fire under his ass to prove his team what he can do. Remember the press conference where he came in halfway through the year for the Moncton Wildcats? And I remember sitting at the table of the press conference. Kid could barely speak a word of English. He was so fired up, he wanted to win for Moncton. You can tell his passion's there. We've been waiting to see it because we've seen flashes of what he can do. Like that give and go pass between him and McKenna against that St. John game, and then Pelche had to tap in for the open net, was one of the sickest things I've ever seen. He is
the goal that was disallowed.
Well, that was crazy.
Yeah,
but like, I like the Havanov
vision.
Right, the Havanov, Jeremy McKenna back because it was a one timer pass three times before Pelche knocked it in. It was crazy, and then but yeah. So if he stays out of the box and he stays fired up, I like Moncton in six. If he takes stupid penalties, or if this team in general, not just not a shot at him, if they don't stay out of the box, I'm taking Bakhoma in six, probably six. So I've got it either way. I like Moncton in this. I like Moncton in the series. I do give the goaltending edge to Bakhoma a little bit, but I think that Moncton, you know, their D are going to chip in well. Big fan of Jordan Spence. Antilainen, because, yeah, Spence was playing with Antilainen at the end of the year. Absolutely love that line. They had Sylvester and Aspero paired up together. That's going to be your shutdown D pairing. You know, they've been activating their D a lot more of late, trying to get their shots, you know, using their blue line to kind of generate traffic in front of the goaltenders. I mean, how many D-men scored in that game against St. John? Two or three? Because DeYoung scored, Sylvester scored two, I think.
Sylvester scored one.
Scored one.
Yeah. DeYoung got one.
DeYoung.
I know that. And they were all like, Shots coming on. Anyways, well, DeYoung's was a great feed from out back. He was coming on in, saw a man streaking. But overall, I like that. I like the blue line taking shots. When Moncton skates out now, they're skating five wide. I don't know. I think that this Moncton squad is something special happening right now. Do I think, and I'm not going to be foolish enough to talk about second, third round type stuff because, you know, you got to get through Bakhoma first right now. But if Moncton stays out of the box, I like Moncton.
I'm just looking for it. The leads are going to be key. Like, Bakhoma, when scoring the first goal, is something like 31-6.
Not giving up late period goals is the key.
Yeah.
Because Moncton has been their demise all year.
Because when leading after two, Bakhoma was 39-0-2. So,
bad news, Wildcats fans.
Moncton is, I mean, Moncton's 30-3, but we've seen them give up leads. They're not going to be saved by the overtime point, or that it's not going to shoot out. So it's going to come down to, I think, special teams, like you said. I mean, Moncton's third in the league in penalty kill, and they've started scoring more shorthanded goals as of late. How many they get against Bakhoma, I don't know. But who would be your X factor for both teams? Like, if you had to pick one X, like one player as the X factor,
I'm going to take Ethan Crossman for Bakhoma.
X factor for Bakhoma, I am going with Nathan Lagare.
I like it.
I was going with, I thought it was Legere, but Lagare, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then Moncton's X factor?
I'm going with Havanov. He's my guy. For some reason, I feel like we're about to see great things, kids.
For me, it's Antilainen.
Yeah,
he's so calm back there. He's had great effect on Spence, but sometimes he can make that big hit that's on the line, could be over the line, which again ties into all the special teams. So for me, it's Antilainen. He was him and Jaguar were brought in for playoff experience. He's my X factor.
I was gonna say outside of my guy, and I don't want to take Jeremy's thoughts. The two guys I was thinking of, Jonathan Aspero is the other guy for me. He's your captain. He has not had the first half of the season I was hoping to see from him. Started to buckle down pretty solid defensively. Unfortunately, it took him to lose all of his teeth for that to happen. But since he's come back, you know, I like the leadership I've seen on the bench. He's been talking to the kids a lot more. Ironically, right after Jeremy called the players only meeting on the podcast, he's been great. You know, him and Silvestig paired up together on that blue line. He's going to be a huge X factor for this lineup.
And I'm going with the name you just mentioned, Gabe Silvest. He's been such a defensive shutdown guy all year. Him and Aspero are no doubt going to be going up against their top line. And you know, he's not, you don't see, he's not going to wow the pants off you, but he's going to shut down your top line. He's going to hit him hard. If I were to take another player from Baie-Comeau though, Sean Element, he can hit you through the glass. So for the Moncton's defense have got to be prepared for that. This guy hits hard. He will hurt you. So he's going to be coming hard. And, you know, if he's knocking guys out of the lineup, I wouldn't be surprised. to be quite frank.
One last question. The top line of Pelche, Sear, McKenna that we've seen all that had great success all year. Do we see that line this series?
Nope.
Not at all?
Shouldn't happen. Unless
they need a spark or something.
Not even. Because Torchetti's had confidence since he's come on in and set his lines, they haven't changed.
Right.
And there's no sense in changing them now.
Yeah. He's changed them a couple times for short periods when he needed something to happen.
Based off penalties or short line changes, but nothing has been, it would be foolish for him to do that now. Except for the only time you'll ever see that happen is on the power play. Cause you'll have Havanoff on the blue line.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't remember what you guys took. I took Moncton in 7.
I took Moncton in 6.
Moncton 6.
All right.
And then I said, if they don't stay out of the penalty box, I took Baie-Comeau in 6.
All right. So
I win either way.
Mr. Dobson, your cat of the week and then your cat of the year.
I didn't even get that far. We'll start with the year. We'll start with the week, but I'm just saying. If I had to pick the hell with it. I know he gave 4 goals, but let's go with Charles-Antoine Lavallée for finally closing out the season. Good for you. It's, my friend, it's been a tough year for you, bud. Started the season off fantastic. You know, faced a little adversity, but he has proven that he can win games when he needed to be. I mean, came on in relief of that Drummondville series in the back to back to back. I mean, they got pumped anyway in Drummondville, but then went on into Rimouski, won that game in Rimouski. Hasn't seen a start since, comes back here, gets his last one of the season. I'll beat against St. John. Doesn't matter. You take it.
As much as that sitting for 18 games,
right? There's so many kids.
How much
kids.
Does it show for his mental makeup that he's able to come in and play fairly well in the last 2 times he's been called upon?
That's why I like him.
Like, that's unbelievable.
He's a very cool kid, man. He's a very cool kid. You can tell he's calm, he's relaxed back there.
And you know, his favorite goalie is Marc-André Fleury. So I mean,
from his hometown,
right? Like, what other goalie in the entire NHL is more cool, you know, calm, cool, and collected than Marc-André Fleury?
Hey, you're absolutely right. But there could have been so many cats of the week this week. You know, I was looking at all the numbers coming on through. I mean, Jonathan Aspero had a fantastic week. I love the numbers he put up. Played really well against St. John. Man, Gabe Silvestis played great. Brady Pataki's been unreal. DeYoung's played great. Spence has played good. I love them all. But as far as the cat of the year goes...
You can have a tie if you'd like.
Oh, man. No, nobody likes ties. Cat of the year... This is tough, man, because there's so many factors that went into this for me. And if I look at strictly from a statistic standpoint, which I don't want to do, you know, I know that at the awards banquet, Pelche won MVP. I was a Jerry McKenna guy. I thought Jerry McKenna should have won MVP. I mean, I like Jacob Pelche. There was an 8-point difference. So statistically, you know, you give it to a guy like McKenna, Pelche, and then Havanoff finished with 74 points. My wildcat of the year, it's got to be the Summerside sniper. It has to be Jimmy McKenna. You know, he didn't quite get to that, the two plateaus he was trying to get this year. Didn't get to 50 goals, didn't get to 100 points. He was damn close.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, but it's the unsung hero guys that we talk about. I mean, you look at a guy like Gabe Sylvest. This guy had 84 penalty minutes on the season, finished with a plus 34. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's insane. Plus 32, excuse me. Man, there's so many. Yeah, I got to go. I like Seitz to start the year. Love Hudson. Hudson's probably one of my most unsung hero guys, period, on this team. I would give this award to everybody if I could, guys, but I'm going to give it to Jimmy McKenna.
All right. Fans know it. They love it. Mr. Boucher, your stick tap of the week.
Good news to all New Brunswickers, ladies and gentlemen.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Stick tap of the week to our current PC minority government announcing their first budget today, and we will no longer need front license plates as of next month. What? Talk about useless as tits on a bowl. Front license plates.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe you guys don't have other personalized plates.
That's fair.
Like, I want everyone on the front and the back.
PEI doesn't have front plates. Alberta Scotia doesn't have front plates.
It's foolish. Alberta. It was a money grab, man. It's all
of course it was.
It's a money grab.
So can you actually take your plate off April 1st, or is it when you renew after April 1st?
So I saw that tweet. I think you were about to comment on it because somebody asked that question to the government, and they said, stay tuned, more information to follow.
How many people think this is going to be a joke because it's April 1st?
Well, it can't be because it's not April Fool's Day today.
How many people are going to be worried that that's when they actually say, you can take your license plate off on April 1st?
And then bam, spot check, you're all getting a fine.
This is awesome. Like I've been driving for, you know, 15 years now, and... I just
good for you.
Yeah, man, it failed like my first driver's test, and you know, but
I failed my first.
Got it on my third try, only because I sucked up to the you know, the female instructor. So
I'm gonna tell you something quick, just because we're talking about driving tests. So I failed my first one because during my driving test, it was a summer day. We pulled up to a four way stop on, I think it was Gordon and Highfield, I believe. And my instructor had his arm on the window, like the window was down. And somebody had asked him at the window for directions. Like a tourist came up and asked for directions. He gave them directions. But because I was at a four-way stop and cars were going through while he was giving directions, I went through. He failed me because I didn't drive through the four-way stop.
Oh, the technicality.
Anyways.
We had a family friend.
Pissed me off.
Same thing. Same kind of issue.
So, yeah. Pretty pumped with this. This is huge. I don't know. I have to decide.
Jeremy's a conservative guy full tilt now.
One thing I wanted to mention, it is a stick tap as well. It was just announced today. Kicking off Thursday is a fundraiser called In Becca's Name. So it's going to be a live launch hosted by Mr. and Mrs. Schofield. So the hashtag Smile In Becca's Name will raise funds for the Becca Schofield Fund, which will provide support directly to cancer patients at the Moncton Hospital. The funds will be used to help with needs and amenities such as transportation to treatments and doctor's appointments and grocery cards. It'll help with the cost of the little things that we sometimes take for granted. No donation is too big or too small. The initiative will build the fund, and once established will help cancer patients and their families at the Moncton Hospital indefinitely. Fundraising will kick off following the live launch, which I believe will be on Thursday. And you can follow their campaigns on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at In Becca's Name.
Great, brother. I love that. That was awesome.
That's awesome.
That was wicked.
And I know, Mr. Schofield, you listen, so...
we will share all that.
There we go.
I'm going to give an honorary stick tap, if you don't mind.
I do mind.
Okay, sorry.
Never mind. This is my time of the show.
All right, let's go to...
Just kidding. Go ahead.
My honorary stick tap. Like I said, this show's been going for a year. To my better half, Layla. The fact that she allowed me to have a room in our old house, paint a room in the new house, she gets dragged to every hockey event, everything. She never really complains. She's been 100 rock.
What do you mean, man? I've heard her complain about you all the time. Oh, that's right. You're never around when she's complaining.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's fair. She complains about me in general, not hockey related, but
fair.
She's been...
Like, she's a gem, bud.
She sat there for 2 hours at the awards last night when she didn't need to. She's been so supportive of this. So my stick tap for her after year one goes to...
I will say, though, the last couple of weeks, her cookie game has been weak.
Yeah.
Her cookie game. Step up the, Layla, cook up, step up your cookie game.
She's worried. She's gone gluten-free, so she's not sure how you guys would react to that. So
okay, just because she's gluten-free doesn't mean we...
No, and that's the thing I will let her know.
I will eat all the gluten.
So yeah, for this thing lasting a year, not many people would allow their significant others to paint a room and have...
No, I like that, man. Good stick tap, bud.
Yeah,
good stick tap.
She even lets us bums, Chris and I, come by every week, so...
That's true.
26 straight weeks. I mean, in our kitchen. She allowed it in our kitchen. 26 straight weeks, that's all it's been? Yeah, 26 straight Tuesdays.
Oh my God.
Including going in our kitchen. Like,
so I need to get a life.
For her to put up...
That's half a year.
That is. Yeah. That's bi-weekly, a full year.
Mm. All right. Any last thoughts before we get to overtime, or you want to just go straight to the overtime? You're just going to hijack the show anyways. Let's get to overtime.
Welcome to Overtime.
It's time to talk Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, so you guys talked about that on the Facebook. I don't watch it. I mean, I watched the first...
Facebook?
The Facebook.
You're so old.
I know. I watched the first season, the American one. There was somebody I was cheering for. I can't even remember who it was.
Adam lost his Big Brother pool early and has hated Big Brother ever since. So who was it? Do you remember who it was?
It was a girl, and she had purple hair. She had green hair. It was the American one. I can't remember what it was.
And how many years ago was this?
The very first Big Brother.
Very first Big Brother.
I tried it.
Holy good Lord.
All the way to the final three, and so they're voting for the number two. You phone in, and this guy that didn't deserve to go to the final... His whole little small town just kept phoning and phoning and phoning and phoning. So he got voted in when he didn't deserve it. I was like, that's stupid. I don't like it. I'm out.
This was before you could go on social media and vote. I haven't seen
a Big Brother. I haven't seen a Big Brother Canada. So you guys love it. So if you guys want to go on a Big Brother talk, go ahead.
I think her name was Brittany.
That could be...
Brittany Petros.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's ringing a bell now. So Big Brother Canada, Chris...
Holy.
Holy moly, what a goalie. I don't want to talk about the American. Let's talk about Big Brother Canada.
First of all, kudos to Sussex for representing.
That's right.
We'll start there.
Good on Sussex for voting Corey Kennedy into the house. I couldn't believe she was like my age. Like nothing against her, but she looks much older in my opinion. Maybe because she hits the gym more than I do. Who knows? But anyways, I like that she's kind of hanging low right now. She hasn't... I guess she's only been a week now. She's in the house, but she's clearly a comp beast based on her videos. She's gonna she's waiting for her opportunity, I think, and I think she's gonna do well in this show. I think so too. Yeah, she's not on the on one side of the house. She's not on the other side of the house. She's kind of on her own right now, and I like that about her. She's not picking sides, and I think it's gonna take her. Pretty far in the show.
So where do you want to go with this?
Who do you like?
Cheesy factors. Big Dane fan. I like Dane. Mm-hmm. When the Pretty Boys formed that alliance, I thought that was entertaining.
But it's a stupid alliance name.
It was brutal. Absolutely brutal. But
you pick four dudes, and the best name you can come up with is the Pretty Boys.
And Dane took out his teeth for this to happen. Right? Like, I like the way he plays his game. I'll tell you who I don't like. Not a fan of Eddie.
Really?
I mean, I like him for specific. I think he's gonna go far because I think he's a smart, smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Damien when he came into the show. Unfortunately, I think he's gonna get bounced. Big fan of Sam. I like Sam a lot. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. Kira, the one with the hat, right? Short-haired Kira. I like her a lot too. Although I'm not a fan of emotional players.
Yeah,
that gets me every time.
She kind of smartened up though. She had that one.
She had
that
no choice.
Moment, and she.
I do believe that they are going to backdoor Kaylin though. I really think that's going to happen.
I can see it happening, I think is very smart considering she's a psychic.
She's never going to see it coming.
Well, I mean, come on, psychics. Like if, and that was the one thing I didn't like about the show because on the first episode they had them tell their darkest secrets.
Right.
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 And I didn't like that part of the show. I think that's kind of like the that is Big Brother, right? You want to hide your, you want to hide who you are as a person.
Right.
When Derek won Big Brother USA, he was a private investigator, right? He didn't say that until
right.
he won the $500,000. They were outside of the house, and he was talking to all the house guests, right? So if he would have said that in the show, he wouldn't have won the game.
But what I don't understand is when Damian was given this ability on day one, before meeting any of the other house guests, he could sit around and watch. He saw alliances being formed. He knew all this. At this point, you know this information.
Yeah.
You know, you very easily could have picked and chosen your alliance based off the information you had. You bring your alliance into it, and you could, like, he could set himself up. He screwed himself over that way. That's why I think he's going to get bounced.
I wouldn't say he screwed himself up. Like, he wanted to be in the Pretty Boys alliance, but they didn't accept him, right? So
it's because they were still playing the factor that people didn't realize they were an alliance.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Damian, former Regina Pats goaltender, by the way.
Right. Way to bring it all back around, bud.
3 seasons with the Regina Pats and 1 season with the Lethbridge Hurricanes.
What was his numbers like?
Rookie season with the Regina Pats, 20 games played, 3.96 GAA.
So he's awful.
An SA percentage of 881.
Perfect.
Second season, 48 games played, 3.48.
Still awful.
And third season, 45 games played with a 4.05.
Even worse.
Yeah.
How's it even possible? How do you get older and get worse?
And
so if the Pats cast is listening, please give us your opinion on that player.
Yeah. And final season with the Lethbridge Hurricanes, 47 games played, 3.6 GAA.
Could you imagine if the Pats cast had a picture with of him? Damian in the Matrix? That would be unbelievable.
How much of that show as a non-fan is strategy and popularity contest?
Strategy. It's
all strategy.
It's all strategy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Popularity.
Because Adam's pretty popular, but yeah. I don't like him for some reason.
I don't like him either.
He's not. Don't even fill their heads with that.
Not you.
Oh,
you.
All right.
Yeah,
no, we know you're not.
You popular. Said this was our time.
Yeah.
I don't like Adam either.
I thought there was a shot at me, that's why.
Oh, now we're talking about this Adam, though, right? Yeah, yeah. No, okay.
I like Damian. I kind of like Damian.
I like Damian a lot, and I wish he'd go far. I just don't think he will.
He's obviously going to survive. He's going to survive this week.
The double pawn play. I think that's pretty clever.
Yeah. Don't see that very often, but it's.
And then he calls her out on stage after the nominations. Like, he's a great pawn. Yeah. Says it to the entire house.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's ballsy.
I don't like Adam. I don't like the big egotistical dudes.
And he's the biggest one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't like Adam.
You've said that 14 times. I'm starting to think you're talking about the one in the room.
Don't like Adam. But no, it's. I actually kind of like the cast.
Yeah, me too.
But I just.
Because there's only one meathead.
I love the drama.
It's awesome.
I need the drama. Like, I need the fights. I need the arguing. I need, you know, Chelsea to catch Sam and Adam making out, right? So she can kind of do her thing with that because you know, kind of tell that. Chelsea's kind of got a thing for Adam as well.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
You can tell that Adam's going to leave Sam and go for Chelsea. It's pretty obvious.
Chelsea, last name, Bird.
Bird.
So speaking of drama, you guys fans of The Bachelor, Bachelorette? No?
Don't be ridiculous.
Every guy has an opinion on it because their girlfriend or wife tells them about the show.
Here's a fun fact. Wrong there, champ.
No?
Never seen an episode of The Bachelor in my
Same
life.
Here.
My wife doesn't watch it.
Really?
Not at all.
I watched The Bachelor Canada 1 season only because...
You guys are so lucky.
Actually, one of my wife's friends was a contestant on the show.
No way.
And she actually won. That's
what? Awesome. Are they still together?
No.
Yeah, it goes to show because the shit's garbage.
Nicole...
film live.
Nicole Brockman from Mississauga Beach. She was on The Bachelor Canada. I think it might have been the first or second season.
That's your wife's friend?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and she ended up getting engaged to Tim, I think his name is. And they ended things. And
the only couple episodes of The Bachelor, honestly, I will openly say this, that I ever watched was when Jesse Palmer was The Bachelor. It's the Monday morning quarterback, dog.
Yeah, no, that's, you guys are so lucky.
My ex-wife
watched it all the time. Layla watches it, tells me all about it. So
not a big Bachelor guy, not a big Survivor guy. I'm like Big Brother and an Amazing Race are my two things. My dream is to be on either or Big Brother Canada or Amazing Race Canada.
So I will tell you right now, one of my favorite reality TV shows, and I'm not even afraid to admit it, although he's this Nut Bar now, I was a huge fan of The Apprentice. I watched The Apprentice yes. a ton back in the day. Yeah. Like the original, not Celebrity Apprentice. That shit was garbage.
Yeah, the first.
But like, you know, actually having this guy, like the concept of the show was really cool. You know, I'm sorry, America, that you're dealing with this guy as your president today. Although good news is, folks, it's almost over.
Yeah, that was a, I don't really watch a lot of reality.
No, I think it's junk.
Tommy
watched a lot of Hockey Wives, though. Knows all about Carey Price's wife.
It was an okay show.
It's still on, isn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
Tommy watched it. $1 Million Listing, New York. And
oh, my God. HGTV never changes the channel. No. It's literally all that's on. And then when it's not on HGTV, Judge Judy at 5 o'clock. So you're about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheidlin. The cases are real. The people are real. Although they took that part of the intro out. Now it really upsets me.
Do you have a Netflix show you binge watch? Or
yes and no. It all depends. Things get tied up for me. I'll binge watch The Office all the time on repeat consistently. Never seen, Friends from College. That came out. Oh, I finally binge watched. I thought that was pretty good. Binge watch that. Not really. I'm not a big binge watcher. Like, I watch a lot of stand-up.
We watched Dirty John. It was a true story about this guy that basically just took advantage of women. Just like found them online, like 7-8 different ones at
like,
once.
Like catfish them?
No, like he would date them.
Because Catfish was a good show too.
It's a true story. He would date them and just like he met this woman. They went on like 4 dates. He moved in. They bought a house. He has no money. He's basically homeless. He finds rich women, obviously. Separates them from their family. Does everything. It's the show is 8 episodes, and then there's an actual documentary on the guy.
Crazy.
Like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's dope.
We usually Sunday binge watch at least the show. We watched Working Moms last Sunday.
Netflix, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I've probably watched all seasons.
Right.
Like,
great show.
At least 3 times now.
Great show.
That Parent Life, I got to go Paw Patrol for sure. Great show. Every day.
Chase is on the case.
Are they making new ones, or you just watch the same one over and over again?
They got like 5 seasons on there now.
How many episodes a season?
20.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And we've probably been through all 5 seasons about 50 times now.
Avery loves it, eh?
Does Avery just pick, like, she goes season 3, episode 4, and picks it because she loves it?
No, she just goes in order.
You know what I wish, though?
From one to the end?
Yeah.
And then back?
I wish Netflix had a button strictly for those types of series, like Friends, The Office, Paw Patrol, where, like, iTunes, you can just hit shuffle, and it'll just pick any episode random. Mm-hmm. Just randomize it.
Yep.
Because I do that with Friends all the time. I go...
Friends is always great. Pivot! Pivot!
I never watched Friends.
Really?
Ever?
Ever. Like, I was not a big Friends guy.
So I wasn't either. I'd only seen a couple of random episodes.
So you were more a Seinfeld guy then.
Seinfeld.
Oh, my God. Seinfeld. Crushed Seinfeld on Crave.
Home Improvement.
Crushed Seinfeld.
You weren't a Seinfeld. If you were a Seinfeld, you weren't really a Friends.
So I'll tell you what got me into Friends was 3 winters ago when we were in Florida. I got deathly ill. Like, couldn't get out of bed my entire vacation, and I had my laptop with me, and I fired up Friends, and I started on season 1, episode 1, and by the time I left Florida, I was on, like, season 6, episode, like, 13.
Were you better by then, or were you like,
so I feel like I finally, I finally was able to get out of bed.
Season finale.
Yeah. What's going to happen with Ross and Rachel? So I needed to know, but yeah, so I literally, like, day before my vacation ended, and it was like a 10-day trip. I finally was able to get out of bed and go for a swim.
That's awesome.
Like, it was brutal.
Mm. We went to New York last December, and I went to the friend's house.
Outside. Oh, no way. Like plus the apartment building?
Yeah. Plus we went to Tom's Diner.
Ooh.
And had breakfast, brunch in there. So that was pretty cool.
What did they call it in the show? Central Perk?
Central Perk, Friends? Yeah.
Are we doing another topic, or is this all we're doing?
I don't know. We kind of Adam brought us off track when he brought up The Bachelor. I was still going on about Big Brother.
Yeah, okay, right.
This is our time of the show.
My bad.
My question, let's bring it back around. Who wins?
I was going to ask you the same thing, but I am putting my money on Mark.
I like it. Yeah.
Turned religious, turned non-religious dude, and he's part of the Pretty Boys Alliance.
Yeah.
He's got, I don't know, I think there's something about him that he's going to win comps when he has to. He's gonna go far with their alliance, I think, and I think there's going to be a week or something where they where they want him out when they want him out, and he's going to win a POV, and then the next week he's going to win an HOH, and that's just going to drive him to the end.
What season is it in?
This is seven.
Okay, I'm just going to randomly pick one while you guys go.
Just because I got to stay close to home.
Going with Corey?
Going with Corey.
There you go.
You know, lives half hour away from my house.
Yep. That would be pretty good. I mean, last year we had Kayla from St. John who finished second.
Right.
So to have Corey from Sussex, you know, win it this year, hey.
Oh, my.
Don't mess with the New Brunswickers, man.
You have any idea how crazy the Thirsty Mule would get if she decides to come home with a title? Holy, the Dirty Donkey'd be bumping, boys. The Dirty Donkey'd be bumping.
Back on Netflix, The Office, obviously.
Right.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Just some, not some TV series, but one that I followed, obviously, Making a Murderer.
I never got into that
really,
one.
Really? Oh, dude, you got
it. I got like five episodes. Five, and then I was like, eh.
I broke a TV. TV screen. Watching an episode because I got so annoyed at that documentary. Just because when they start to reveal the terrible police investigation that he did.
Yeah.
Just fires up.
Have you seen The Staircase?
The who?
It's one of those true crime dramas. It's The Staircase. It's a guy, his wife died. He's on trial for killing her, but the evidence just continually points to him not doing it. But right. He just, and then he goes, he's found guilty. Then he goes to prison, and it's just his lawyer fighting over and over. Like it's kind of drawn out, but it's pretty good.
Last Chance U. Football one I love.
Last Chance U was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Season one was incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. Incredible.
Okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah, you'd love it.
I think there's three seasons on there now?
Yeah. But the first season was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Yeah.
And another good one is, where is it? Another football one is called QB1, Beyond the Lights. So basically they follow some of the top high school quarterbacks in the U.S. throughout their entire season up to the moment till they commit to their U.S. college. So right. Last year was the first season they followed Tate Martell, who went on to sign with I think Ohio State.
Yeah,
and then he transferred to Miami, and Jake Fromm.
Welcome to
who
Miami.
Georgia. Went to Georgia, so it's pretty cool because it follows their entire their entire season, meet their families, everything like that. I like it.
Cool. My last pick is I'm gonna pick Adam.
No, it's on my board.
For Big Brother.
You're taking Adam?
I might as well.
Makes sense.
No, they're going to turn on him.
Well, everyone does.
Just the fact he's in a showmance is early in the season. It's going to get exposed.
Cool.
All right, that is cool.
That is it for us. Guys, the playoffs are underway. Tuesday, March 26th. Wednesday, March 27th. Friday, March 29th, if necessary, at the Avenir Center. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Let's fill the rink. I don't know what theme they're going to have, but let's get loud. Let's fill that rink.
The hunt is on. The chasse est ouverte.
Hashtag.
Hashtag the hunt is on.
Last word quickly before we go. Boys, did you get your brackets in?
Oh.
It is March Madness, bitches.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes. Let's go Gonzaga.
Oh, really? I got Duke.
Oh, of course.
I haven't got mine done.
Zion the freak.
He's unreal.
He's an absolute beast.
He's a monster. Yeah. Anyways, March Madness starts Thursday. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait. It's my favorite time of the year.
Gonzaga over Duke. Upside of the century.
Watch a little March Madness.
Thank you for listening. You can follow the show on all social medias. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Excuse me.
Search Monks and Wildcast. Don't forget about your tickets. Game 3 and 4. Let's fill that building. See you next week.
Watch your bracket.